أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخر يابسات يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في رؤياي إن كنتم للرؤيا تعبرون. قالوا أضغاث أحلام وما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين. وقال الذي نجا منهما وادكر بعد أمة أنا أنبئكم بتأويله فأرسلون. يوسف أيها الصديق أفتنا في سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخر يابسات لعلي أرجع إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون. قال تزرعون سبع سنين دأبا فما حصدتم فذروه في سنبله إلا قليلا مما تأكلون. ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك سبع شداد يأكلن ما قدمتم لهن إلا قليلا مما تحسنون. ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك عام فيه يغاث الناس وفيه يعصرون. And the king said, indeed I see seven fat cows, whom seven lean cows devour, and seven green ears of corn, and other seven withered. O assembly, do explain to me the meaning of my dream, if you are able to interpret my dream. So they said, it's a mixture of scattered thoughts, and we aren't acquainted and we aren't skilled with the interpretations of dreams. And one person who had been released from prison that was with him, and he remembered after a long period of time, says, I will tell you the truth. I will tell you the interpretation of this dream. So send me and I will fetch that person who will be able to interpret the dream. So he comes up to Yusuf alayhi salam and he says, O man of truth, do explain to us the meaning of a dream wherein seven fat cows are devoured by seven lean ones and seven green ears of corn and other seven dried and withered. Explain this to me that I may go back to my people and that they may know the meaning of the dream. So Yusuf alayhi salam gave the explanation of the dream, says that for seven years you will sow corn. 7 years in succession, 7 years continuously according to your routine, you will sow corn, and whatever harvest you reap, then leave them in the ear, but for a little that you will eat. Then after the 7 years of good crops will be followed 7 hard years, years of drought that will eat up all what you have advanced for yourselves, except for a little which you will preserve. Then will come after all this period a year when men will get abundant rain and they will press wine thereafter. So the king heard about the entire dream and the meaning and he was impressed. He commands that bring him to me. So when the messenger comes up to Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam says to him, go back to your master and ask him, what is what was the true story of those women who cut off their hands, for my Rabb is fully aware of their treachery. So the man addresses these women and asks them, what was the truth of the story where you had seduced Yusuf alayhi salam? You tried and attempted to seduce him. So they replied, Allah ta'ala forbid, we do not know of any evil in Yusuf alayhi salam. Now the wife of the Aziz speaks out and says, now has the truth been revealed. The truth has been exposed. It was I that tried to seduce him, and really he was always truthful. And Yusuf alayhi salam says, I have asked and I have commissioned this whole inquiry and investigation that لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُونْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, that the Aziz, that is my master, he may know that I had not betrayed him in the unseen. And verily Allah Ta'ala does not guide the snares and the plots of those who are treacherous. And further, when I have commissioned this entire inquiry, it was not for me, it wasn't my intention to prove my innocence. For the human soul is prone towards evil, unless my Rabb shows mercy to it, for my Rabb is most forgiving and most merciful. The entire universe, the different systems that we see, are entirely in the control of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala wanted the release of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he created the situation where the king sees a dream, and then the man that was with Yusuf alayhi salam in prison, and Yusuf alayhi salam had interpreted the dream for him, now he's released, he remembered that there was a man who had correctly interpreted the dream, so we should refer to him. Everybody else has failed to explain what is the true meaning, and this man who had explained our dream correctly, obviously he will get this right as well. So Yusuf alayhi salam explains that this indicates that there is going to be a drought, a severe drought, preceded by 7 years of good rainfall, when there will be abundant crops, etc. Then will come a 7-year period of drought, and everything will be wiped out. But Yusuf alayhi salam explains the dream, and he shows them what is the plan for the future, that this drought is coming, and it's inevitable. You should be planning for yourselves, and how you're going to be planning for yourselves is you're not going to eat up all those 7 years of corn that you have stored up. Rather, you will eat a little, and you will help others, and so you will be able to manage the 7 years of drought. And then after all this will be followed a year of abundant rain. People will enjoy, and they will be comfortable. So the king was amazed how beautifully he has explained the dream, and he shown us an exit to our difficulty, most trying moments. He's shown us an exit, how we can come out of this difficulty and this problem. So the king is impressed, and he calls and he summons for Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf alayhi salam, before he can come up to the king, he says that I request that there must be an inquiry, a thorough investigation about my case, because there was an allegation against his personality and his integrity. So Yusuf alayhi salam wanted that before his release, then there is an independent inquiry in reference to himself, that everything can be cleared up. And he wanted this to happen before his release, so that it can happen completely independently without any type of influence. And so that when he is released, then nobody can have any reservation about his integrity. Otherwise, they will call him, he's released, is positioned to a high post, but people can have some type of reservations and doubt about the man, that he was treacherous, he had treacherous plans about the wife of the Aziz, then how can he be truthful when we have posted him to a position? So he wanted that everything must be cleared, that people can then have that level of trust and confidence in him, that when he's posted to a position, he can be relied upon and he can be trusted. So nobody has any reservations about him. They can look at him straight in the face. He can look at them straight in the face as well. And most of a Nabi, he has to be respected and honored, and the Ummah has to have the greatest level of trust and confidence in him, because if the Ummah has the slightest level of distrust and mistrust in the Nabi, then his words are not going to have any type of effect. People will feel that he was the man that had betrayed, was treacherous, then how can he be truthful in conveying the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But again, a Nabi is a man of truth, but a man of nobility and respect as well. So instead of him saying that your wife was treacherous and she had treacherous plans, so he asked for an independent research, an inquiry, but in a very dignified, in a very dignified way, in a manner of respect. So he says, مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِ. Instead of directing the whole blame, directing the whole address to the wife of the Aziz, and showing what she was actually attempting to do, so he changed the whole pretext. He addresses it in a different way, with respect and nobility. مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِ قَطَّعَنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ. What is the truth of the story of this woman that had cut off the hands? So obviously now there's going to be an inquiry, what happened and what was the need for them to cut off the hand, and the whole story will be revealed thereafter. So he addresses it, but with respect, with dignity and honor, not ridiculing anybody, not unnecessarily embarrassing someone, and not bringing any type of disgrace unnecessarily, but in a dignified manner, the story about the woman cutting off the hands. So he addresses it in this manner. So look at how an individual and a Muslim, how he should be addressing himself, not bringing unnecessary hurt to anybody, though you are standing for the truth, but in a manner that you don't hurt the next person. Hence now, Yusuf al-Islam's integrity has been proven. Those very women, they are a witness on his behalf, and they understand, and they are convinced that he is a man of truth, no treachery, no betrayal. Even that very woman that was attempting to seduce him, she also acknowledges that he is the man of truth. It was I that was wrong. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Then Yusuf al-Islam explains that I've commissioned this entire inquiry not to declare my innocence, that I may prove that I am an innocent person and a person that is righteous. I haven't done this for this reason. For without the mercy of my Rabb, then a nafs is prone to go towards evil. It's natural for that nafs, for that person to go towards evil, towards illicit relationship, towards wrong, towards temptation. The nafs is tempted to go and do all these things. Unless it is the special mercy and the special attention of my Rabb, I will also fall into this wrong. So I haven't done this to declare my innocence, that I'm very good, etc. But I've done this to clear people's minds, and tahdeesan lil ni'mah, as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it was the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of my own. The nafs, as explained in the hadith, through a simile, a friend, that if you are good to him, you clothe him well, you feed him well, then this friend rebels against you. He works against you, brings you disgrace and embarrassment. And if you are hard on him and you don't clothe him well, you don't feed him well, then he relents, he is submissive and he listens. So this is the nafs. When you're going to be too good to it, listen to every demand, every temptation, every desire, you're going to give in to everything, all the good that they want, and you give them all the goodies that they want, then the nafs turns around against you, it will become disobedient, it will rebel and bring about disgrace. But if you keep it in check, discipline it, correct it all the time, and don't give in to all its temptations, then it will listen, it will become submissive, and it will be to your advantage. So this is the nafs. The first level is ammaratun bisu. It violently commands you towards evil. That is its very nature. That is how it was made. Prone towards evil, inclined towards temptation and wrong. Immediate gratification, this is what the nafs wants. But then, that nafs that is, that man that is remorseful and shameful of the wrongs, then Allah Ta'ala posts this nafs, elevates it to a higher position, to a position of lawama, where the man keeps himself in check, he corrects himself, he is remorseful for the evil and the wrong that he has done, the wrong that he has seen, the wrong that he has spoken about, the wrong that he has dealt in, and he begins to have a level of remorse, a level of repentance, then Allah Ta'ala posts this person to a higher position, elevates him to the position of lawama, the nafs that is held in somewhat respect, that Allah Ta'ala himself takes an oath by the nafs lawama. Then, when Allah Ta'ala's special mercy is turned towards this lawama, he is remorseful, he is ashamed of the wrong that he is doing, he is not making any stories for himself, defending himself, rather accepting his guilt, acknowledging and remorseful, then Allah Ta'ala has even more mercy towards him, a special affection, and then he is posted to and elevated to the position of mutma'inna. Now it's that soul that is totally compliant. It will find its comfort in righteousness. It will find itself very uncomfortable when it's surrounded in wrong, when it's in company that is in wrong, that he is not in right, that he is inclined towards evil, it will feel very, very uneasy. It will naturally feel a comfort towards righteousness. So this is that nafs mutma'inna, that the highest soul, which is worthy of the highest respect, it's naturally inclined towards good, naturally disinclined towards evil. Now when the king heard all this, so he's very much impressed, and he says, "Ituni bihi." وَأُتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. Bring him to me, I will reserve him for my special counsel. I will consult with him, I need him to be my personal advisor. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. When he spoke to him, and he was now totally impressed and convinced that this is a sincere man, he is the right man, man of intelligence, man of honesty, integrity and respect. So he reassures Yusuf alayhi salam that in our presence today, you are a man of position, you are a man that is held in trust, and a man that is held in confidence. May Allah give us tawfiq.